Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis. Easy to find, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. Our monthly theme has had a focus upon the spirit of creation, God, the Holy Spirit involved in creation. Our yearly theme as a church is be filled with the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And during the month before us, we've been memorizing a number of verses that deal with creation. And I'd like to spend a few moments this evening just looking at these verses and highlighting the significance of the Word of God. Here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you would guide us and lead us, O Holy Spirit. Lord, be our teacher, we pray. I ask that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 3, one of our memory verses, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Bible teaches us that God created out of nothing. There's an old Latin word, ex nihilo, out of nothing. And that summarizes God's creation. God created all from nothing. He did not repackage something already in existence. Hebrews 11:3 affirms that very fact. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And the issue doesn't just rest on God's ability. God is all powerful. God is able to create out of nothing. Otherwise, he would not be all powerful. When we consider creation, God creating out of nothing, we are mindful that it was in the will of God that God has created. And the very first verse of the Bible teaches us that God created the heaven and the earth from nothing. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, please, verses 1 to 3. Turn with me there for a moment, please. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Affirming the fact that God created all things, here in John chapter 1 verses 1 to 3, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God spoke the world into existence out of nothing. And first and foremost this evening, I'd like for us to focus upon the God of creation. God is mentioned for the very first time in the first verse of the first book of the Bible. And that's by no coincidence, by the way. God, this is a translation of the Hebrew word Elohim, which refers to God's omnipotent power. The ending, the I am, has a plural connotation. So within the very first verse of the Bible, the name given to God, God has a number of names. It reveals His unity, His oneness, and yet the plurality, the Trinity, the Godhead, is affirmed within the very first verse of the Bible. God is eternal. He is outside the realm of time. God has always been and will forever be. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is able to provide eternal life because He is the eternal God. He is immutable. That means He is unchangeable. He is eternal. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible teaches us the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life. The eternal God has promised eternal life to all mankind. For these characters that go around trying to teach the fact that eternal life is not eternal, it is not secure, it is not permanent, that is contrary to the nature of God. And I like to ask the question, well, is God eternal? Of course He's eternal. Eternal God offers eternal life. So if my salvation is not eternal in Jesus Christ, then what type of salvation do I have? That's the question that goes begging. God is eternal. In the beginning, God. That little phrase, in the beginning, now please don't underestimate the power of verse number 1 of Genesis. This is a very important verse. Because this gives us God, in the beginning, God. That little phrase there, in the beginning, the start of time as we know it. God is outside of time. God is eternal. And as it reads, in the beginning, God, it's not the beginning of God that's in reference to here. It is the beginning of time, as we know time. In the beginning, there was a time that God created out of nothing. And it can be scientifically proven that the world is probably not much more than 6,000 years old. In the beginning, some 6,000 years ago, God brought time into existence. God, the eternal deity, brought time into existence as we know time today. Therefore, we are commanded by God, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Time is a gift from God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, because you don't know what the day is going to bring forward. So live and glorify God today, brethren. You cannot tell me that you'll be here next Sunday, that you can't even guarantee that you will be alive tomorrow. So redeem the time. Time does not belong to you. It is God's. In the beginning, God brought time into existence. The little phrase, I have all the time in the world. That's a ridiculous phrase, isn't it? Boy, we say some silly things, don't we? You don't have all the time in the world. In fact, you might not have another 5 minutes. I was once in a church service back at our old building, and a man collapsed at the end of the Sunday morning service and stepped into eternity. Thankfully, there were two doctors in the service that morning, and with all their expertise, they couldn't do a thing to help him. It was time. And I remember thinking as a young adult, boy, God works according to His timetable. Even in church, people step into eternity. See, time is in the hand of God. In the beginning, God is the origin of time. He is eternal. He is outside of time, and God, as He creates the heaven and the earth, in the beginning, God, the beginning of time, is referred to here in verse number 1. I like to ask the evolutionists, explain time to me. Where do we get time? Explain time. The origins of time, according to evolution. You can't. Because time implies order, structure, purpose. It points back to a creator. Here in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the God of creation. This verse speaks of the creation of the physical universe. Mention of time. In the beginning, God created the heaven. Heaven has reference to space. God created the space, the atmosphere as we see the atmosphere. God created the heaven and the earth, matter. God spoke the physical universe into existence out of nothing. The heaven here mentioned, verse number 1, as I have already said, is in reference to space. Beginning in reference to time. Earth in reference to matter. God created. God the triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in creation. In the beginning, God. The existence of God is not proven from verse 1. God does not seek to prove His existence. It simply reads, in the beginning, at the start of time, as we know time, God created. God created, and with creation of the heaven and the earth and all therein, God began what we understand as time. So God's existence is assumed. God's existence is not proven, it's just assumed. In the beginning, God. And why is that? Well, God created. There is a God. God created. God created the heaven and the earth. God created everything. This is basic doctrine. All found in the very first verse of the Bible. This is the first major doctrine spelled out. That there is a God. He is the creator of all things. And the scriptures do not set out to prove that fact. The truth is clearly declared. Because the truth is understandable. That's why God doesn't seek to prove His existence. His existence is known. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 1, please, let's turn there. Romans chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20 teaches us that all of God's creation has an awareness of the existence and presence of God. Romans chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, dwells within in them, in reference to the conscience. For God hath showed it unto them. So here in verse 19, there is a reference to the knowledge of God within the heart of man. The conscience. And then in verse 20, for the invisible things of Him, the eternal God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. So the invisible God is evident, being understood by the things that are made. So God reveals His existence, the eternal God. We cannot see God with our naked eye. But we see the evidence of God. We know there is a God. And God tells us in His Word that the evidence of the invisible God is clearly seen in that which is made, created. Then it goes on to say in verse 20, even His eternal power. Note the word eternal. Eternal power and eternal Godhead. So that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, what does that mean? Well, the conscience teaches there's a God. Creation teaches there's a God. Because when they knew God, everybody knows that there is a God. There is no such thing as an atheist. I like to ask these individuals that would call themselves an atheist, when did you become an atheist? Nobody is born an atheist. People choose to deny God. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. There's a rejection of God. See? So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God, who is eternal, brought time into existence, and with the bringing of time into existence, God created the heaven and the earth and all therein. It's a summary of God's creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It's a very, very important verse. It tells us that God exists, that God has created, and God has created everything. God's existence is not proven, it is just assumed. And that's why the Bible teaches us in verses like Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How can God be so bold to make such a statement? Well, simply because God has put His witness within the heart of man. And if that's not enough, God has put His witness in creation, all of creation. Boy, those birds were pumping this morning. As I was on the phone this morning, those birds were going mad outside my office window. And it was just like the good Lord saying, I'm here, I'm creator. The witness of God is evident in creation. God's voice. In the beginning. So here in verse 1 we have the eternal God mentioned. The beginning of time created the heaven and the earth, all therein. All matter, all space, time brought into existence. And then we move into verse number 2, please, of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. And there is a reference to the earth, and the earth was without form. What does that mean? Well, the earth was without design. So we're moving into the first day of creation. And as God created, God defines or spells out from verses 2 and following the details of His creation in six literal days. And the Bible teaches us that God created the heaven and the earth, and originally the earth, matter, had no form, it had no design, no structure. And just like God took the dust of the ground and made Adam, He took the earth without form. And also the earth is described as void, empty. This is God's original creation. The earth is without form, without structure, without design at this stage. It is void, it is empty. There is nothing that fills the earth that is yet to come. But also it's interesting, don't miss this, that verse number 2 teaches us, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So God began His creative first day, the Bible teaches us earth had no structure, no design. It was void, it was empty, it was uninhabited. And there was darkness upon the face of the deep. Now the deep is in reference to waters. Note there at the end of verse 2 it goes on to read, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Think about it for a moment. When God spoke the world into existence, He created the heaven and the earth. And God gives us some insight concerning what led to that first day of creation. The earth had no structure. The earth had no design. The earth was empty. It was void. It was not inhabited. And the Bible teaches us that darkness covered the earth. A blanket of darkness covered the earth. But not only darkness, the Bible teaches us that water covered the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's why it's no coincidence you move into day 2, for example. There is the separation of the upper waters and the lower waters, and then there is the appearance of land, and then there is the establishment of seas. So just imagine, think with me for a moment, God created out of nothing. And on day number 1, verse number 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. But leading up to this first creative act, the earth that God had originally created had no form, had no structure, was empty, was covered with darkness, was covered with water. That's what the Bible teaches. This is all part of God's creation. Now, there's a reason why it's mentioned here in verse number 2. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God began to create. And God spoke the world into existence. God, who's eternal, is all-powerful, and God has the ability and the power to create out of nothing. And the Bible teaches us that God simply spoke. There's a teaching today that is very prominent within Christian circles. It's what's referred to as theistic evolution. Theistic evolution is when you try to combine evolution and creation. And simply put, that is the amalgamation of evolution with creation, and by simply claiming that each of those creative days represents a period of time. Now, I personally think the theory of theistic evolution is a slap in the face for God. God doesn't need thousands of years to create anything. He's God. He's all powerful. And God created in 6 literal days. And in His original creation, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's a summary of God's creation. Now God zeroes in on the earth, and He tells us the earth originally had no structure. I'm not sure what that exactly meant. When I get to heaven, I'll ask. And you can ask as well, I guess. But the Bible teaches us. The earth was without form, it was void, it was empty, darkness covered the face of the earth, and the earth was covered by waters. And from this, God initiated light. Let there be light. And the Bible teaches us, and there was light. Verse 4 and 5 goes on to read, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. the God of creation. And it's by no coincidence that we read that God said, "Let there be light." The Lord Jesus is the light of the world, is He not? And the Spirit of God has the power to impart life. And just like the Spirit of God moved upon the earth that was covered in darkness and covered in water, and the creative days began and God began His deeds of creation, it is a work of the Spirit of God, the giver of life. And so likewise, my friend, the Holy Spirit is the one that imparts life to you and I. When we repent of our sin and we receive Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, it's the Holy Spirit that takes care of that regeneration. We are born again by the Spirit of God. John chapter 3 verse 8. We're not born again by water baptism. We're not born again by good deeds. We're not born again by a moral standing. We are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God imparts life. And as the earth was without form, was without void, covered by water, covered by darkness, God said, "Let there be light." And the Spirit of God was the initiator of creation. God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He has established it. He has created it not in vain. He has formed it for it to be inhabited. And over the 6 days of creation, we see that God creates systematically, methodically, lays the foundation. On day one, we see light. On day 2, verses 6 to 8, and God said, "Let the firmament at the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So God separated the waters that are in the skies, and before the fall of man, it would seem like the earth was covered with a canopy. There wasn't rain as we know rain today, but God watered with this canopy type covering the earth. So we see the separation of the waters on day 2. And then we look at day number 3, please. And we read there in verses 9 to 12 that land appears. The seas are ordered and we find vegetation. Verses 9 to 12, and God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass." The original earth was void, without form, covered in water, covered in darkness. But now we see the earth being separated from the waters, but the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and fruit yielding fruit after His kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning, one day cycle, a 24-hour day cycle, God chose to create. Now, did God need those 24 hours? No, He did not. Just conveying order and structure and purpose. Then on day number 4, we find from verses 14 to 18 that God creates the sun to rule the day.
On day one, we read that God said, let there be light, and this was obviously not in reference to the sun. Light is a mystery in itself. Scientists still cannot fully explain light. And it's by no coincidence that God said, let there be light. It is probably the greatest mystery known to the science world today. The existence of light. But here we have further order on day number four, and God creates the sun, moon, and stars. And then we move to the day number five, verses 20 to 22. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl, the birds that may fly above the earth, in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, great fish, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas, let the fowl, the birds multiply in the earth. And then last but not least, on day number six, we find from verses 24 to 31, the creation of land animals, and the creation of man, and the creation of woman from man. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Another question I like to ask the evolutionists, well, explain to me male and female. Go ahead. Explain male and female. From nothing, explosion, okay, male and female. How do you explain male and female? The Bible explains it. God made them male and female. God created Adam and Eve. God did not create Adam and Stephen. Adam and Eve. For sodomy is not of God. Sodomy is an abomination to God. God made one man for one woman. God created the land animals and formed the many animals that Adam knew personally. In fact, named them all, gave them all names. There was not found a suitable partner, companion. So God made a woman for a man. And I'm thankful for that. I've enjoyed the benefits of that for the last 24 years. Praise God. God's awfully smart. That's exactly what he's doing. So here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, listen to me this evening. The earth was without form, without design, was void, was empty. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Water covered the earth, and yet out of that, God made the heavens and the earth. God created light, and God created separated land from seas, and God created the sun, moon, and stars, and God created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. God created the land animals. God made man. God made woman. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is the creator of all. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Powerful verse. Don't take it for granted, brethren. And don't lose sight of the fact the Spirit of God from the very outset was involved in the work of creation. The giver of life. We serve the God of creation. And God reveals His glory in His creation. And that's what Psalm 19 is all about. Let's go to Psalm 19 just for a moment. I'll close with this. Psalm 19.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Verse number 1 teaches us that the glory of creation and ornament of great beauty and of God's existence is evident in and through creation. And verse number 1 tells us it's undeniable. The psalmist looks at the marvel of creation and he sees God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Then verse number 2 reads, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. God's glory in creation has no limitation. Creation is God's continual voice. Creation is a continual voice of God's existence. Day unto day, night unto night, creation all around us is God's voice piece. But there is a God. There is no limitation to the voice of creation. The voice of the Creator through creation, I should say. And then verse number 3 reads, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Creation speaks in a known language that all can understand. It's understandable. So really it's a ridiculous statement to say, well, I can't understand that there is a God. Because your response to that should be, well, creation is God's voice piece and creation is understandable. The Bible teaches us that God created all things. It's understandable. You just need to choose to accept the revelation that God has given. Creation speaks in a known language. It's a language known to all. No matter the color skin, no matter the dialect, no matter the part of the world or the food that you and I eat, creation is everywhere, and that language is understandable for all mankind. They say music is a universal language. May I say more so? Creation is more so a universal language. It's universal. Verse number 4. Their line is gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. Creation is seen all over the world. Wherever man is, there is creation. God's creation points to a Creator. This is outside of the witness within. And then last but not least, in verses 5 and 6, there is a reference to the sun. The sun, a masterpiece of God's creation. It raises its beautiful head daily, can be seen all over the world. It sees all. A wonderful picture of our Creator. All-powerful, all-knowing God. So the God of creation reveals His glory within His creation. And brethren, we are created to worship Him. We are made to worship the Creator. God has created the earth to be inhabited, and He is worthy of glory, brethren. In the beginning, God created. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and brethren, if you are born again by the Holy Spirit, if you've repented of your sin, and if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior this evening, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. You've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. We need to glorify Him, do we not? If He is really Creator, reveals His glory in and through His creation, we have the evidence of God's presence with us all the time. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our honour. Let me close with Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3 once again. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, we simply believe what God has said in His Word. And guess what? It matches the evidence. Otherwise, how do you explain the knowledge of God within the heart of man? How do you explain creation and all the uniqueness that we find in creation? How do you explain? Well, I think it's far more believable to just believe the Bible. Did you agree with me? Because it fits. It fits. By faith we understand. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And brethren, God is all-powerful, and the very God that brought all into existence can do a work in your life. Can do a special work in my life. So may God help us to be mindful of the fact that we are not our own. We are His. We need to glorify God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And all of God's people said, let's honor Him as the Creator. You are not your own. You have no guarantee of a tomorrow. In the beginning, God brought time into existence, and God holds the time clock of your life in the palm of His hand. And may God help us to be humbled by that very fact. And God at any time can just say, that's enough. But until that day, may God help us to glorify Him and serve Him and honor Him, because we are what we are by the grace of God and that alone. Let's be upstanding, please.